Put your hands on worship. Father, we give you the praise tonight. We appreciate you. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of relationship. Father, breathe upon this service tonight. Let not one person live here the same way. We praise you. We honor you. We adore you. Be thou glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. The necessity and profit of vision, part two. The second part of what we dealt with last week. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 2 and verse 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain upon tables that he may read it. Wrong that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. We began this subject last week to understand why vision is necessary and why vision is profitable. Why is it necessary, profitable, and valuable to live with vision? We saw last week, first, that vision gives beauty to life. Life is beautiful with vision. Secondly, we saw that vision gives meaning to life. Life is meaningful with vision. Third, we saw that vision gives drive to life. People of vision are highly driven. Four, we saw that vision brings order and discipline to life. Where there is no vision, there is a lot of indiscipline. And five, we saw that vision brings focus to life. And that means deliverance from distractions. We saw all those five last week. We'll look at five more, if time permits, in this second part. That is number six. Vision brings life out of darkness. Brings life out of darkness. Matthew chapter 6 verse 22 said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, that is no vision, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? A man's life, a person's life is literally engulfed in the darkness of confusion, directionlessness and uncertainty. The darkness of confusion, the darkness of directionlessness, the darkness of uncertainty, where there is no vision. For lack of vision, for lack of sight, the blind man is absolutely immersed in darkness, absolutely practically immersed in darkness. That is what happens to a man without vision. To avoid existence in darkness, avoid existence as a victim of confusion, as a victim of uncertainty, vision is mandatory. There is another dimension of darkness I want you to understand. Darkness also refers to or implies evil activity. Darkness implies evil activity. So it is easy for a man or a woman without vision to be prone to the darkness of evil activity. Why do I say so? The absence of vision is the abundance of idleness. And the abundance of idleness is the possibility of godlessness. It is said in vernacular that the idle man is the devil's workshop. Then I heard a wise man said, he said, the devil tempts everybody, but the idle man tempts the devil. That is, Satan, here am I. Don't you have work to give me? Without vision for her life, the young girl carries the bag and stands by the junction looking for a man. Whether that man is a ritualist, she doesn't care. Whether that man is a killer, she doesn't care. No vision for her life. So she becomes an instrument of evil activity. Without a vision for the future, the young man got recruited into armed robbery. Or became connected to people who will show him the destructive way of ritual money. Vision is what brings a life out of darkness. The darkness of confusion, the darkness of directionlessness, the darkness of evil activity. That was number six. Number seven, vision causes a life to become an illumination. It turns a life into an illumination. When your eye is single, your body is full of light. What is the meaning of that? Vision lightens up a person's life.
Vision makes a person to be a light carrier, a light bearer. Vision turns a person into a generational illuminator. A generational illuminator. A light bearer. A light carrier. A road pointer. A direction giver. A direction provider. Vision turns a person into a role model. A pace setter. What is the meaning of that? When you are a man or a woman of vision, people look at your life and get inspiration. They look at your life and acquire inspiration. They look at your life, they acquire motivation. They look at your life, they gain direction. They look at your life and regain their focus. That is, you are lighting your generation. When a man or a woman has no vision, there is nothing anybody has to learn from you. You are not taking steps or making moves that is worthy to be followed. When we look at notable role models in our generation, in various fields, it happened by vision. I stepped into marriage with a vision. Vision is what I saw as a child, my children will never see. What my mom saw as a wife, my wife will never see. And my marriage shall be the visible representation of the relationship between Christ and the church. It was on our wedding card. The vision was written at the back of our wedding card. As Christ loved the church, that is my role. As the church is subject to Christ in all things, that is the role of my wife. And by the mercies of God, we are on the journey. Whatever we see around us never happened by chance. Children grow in the atmosphere of pure love. When our children were growing up, if they happened to quarrel with each other or exchange words, one question will silence them. Where did you learn it from? Where did you see quarrel? Why are you trying to practice what you never saw? End. Am I communicating? Vision. It becomes, it makes, in any realm of life, it makes your life become an inspiration. It makes your life become an illumination. I was speaking to a girl the other day who wishes that if marriage is what her father and mother has, then she doesn't want to marry. And I said to her, if your father and your mother couldn't give you a motivation or an inspiration, what of your spiritual father and spiritual mother? And then she has no reply. I say, yes, look in that direction for that particular aspect of motivation, that particular aspect of inspiration. Hallelujah. And that started and came to be by vision. Vision causes life to become an illumination. Number 8, vision begets optimism, enthusiasm, and positivism. Vision gives birth to optimism, enthusiasm, positivism. Job chapter 14 verse 14, Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, I will wait. I will wait till my change comes. People of vision are optimistic people. People of vision are enthusiastic people. People of vision possess a positive attitude to life. They are a positivistic people. People of vision. They see the glass half full instead of half empty. When the water is midway in the glass of water, different people see it differently. People of vision see that this glass is half full, which means it will soon be full. People without vision say this glass is half empty, which means it will soon be empty. They see the negative side of things. People with vision see the light at the end of the tunnel. They see that they may not be there yet, but they are getting there. What they are trusting God for may not have happened yet, but it will happen. People of vision charge at life. Did you hear what I just said? They charge at life. The way the horse charges at life. Not like the cow. I told you before, when the cow is lying down on the horse, and you come to get them to stand up, the cow stands up with the back leg first. It is backward minded. That's why the cow cannot run any race. The horse stands up with the front leg first. It is forward minded, ready to charge, to run. People of vision, they charge at life like the horse, not like the cow. I heard the story of Smith Wigglesworth. That when Smith Wigglesworth wakes up in the morning and he rolls off the bed, he doesn't roll off the bed gradually. He just rolls off the bed and jumps and stands on his feet, begins to blast in tongues, and then gets set for the day. He rose up almost 23 dead people. He wasn't a normal person. He charges it. He just turns from the bed and just jumps on his feet. Lands tonguing. Praising. That his day has started. That is today. I am ready for you. Am I communicating at all? Is God speaking to somebody at all? The absence of vision is the abundance of negativism. Where you see a man that is very negativistic. The absence of vision is the abundance of pessimism, uncertainty. Where somebody is not sure of things, always pessimistic. Are you sure it will happen? And I don't have time for such people at all. In fact, the absence of vision can bring about the abundance of depression. That is why you need a vision. Vision. People with strong functional vision. They are positive. They are optimistic. They are enthusiastic. And they are excited about life. How many of you remember Joseph had a vision? And that vision took him to the palace. But before he reached the palace, he was in the prison. But while he was in the prison, and excitement was up. Enthusiasm was up. Positivism was up. In the book of Genesis chapter 40, verse 6 and 7. Genesis 40, 6 and 7. And Joseph came unto them in the morning and looked upon them. And behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And then they told a dream. That was a prisoner that was charging other prisoners up with joy. I prophesy to someone here today, every trace of depression, every trace of negativism, every trace of pessimism around your life, I declare them arrested right now in the name of Jesus. You believe that? Say loud, amen. Number 9, vision. So, vision brings life out of darkness, turns a man into an illumination. Vision births optimism, enthusiasm. Number 9, vision brings speed to life. Speed. Write the vision. Make it plain that he may run that readeth it. Vision, listen to this. Vision produces action and motion and acceleration. People of vision have action. They have motion. They have acceleration. Vision makes runners out of people. Reason why most people don't do anything is because they don't know what to do. Many years ago, I was preaching about pastors walking, and when they ask you, what do you do? You say, what work are you doing? You say, I'm not working. I'm a pastor. That's many years ago. I'm not working. I'm a pastor. I said, you are not working. And they can only say they are not working because they are not working. Because it is not possible for you to walk and you are not aware. Are you following what I'm saying here? Even my bed is aware of my walk. The bed I'm sleeping on is aware of walk. Everywhere you turn, walk. So I said, Pastor, walk. And the pastor said, what walk can I do? What walk should I? What is the walk that a pastor, what is his walk? Wow. You labor in word, you labor in doctrine, all multidimensional labor. More than, thank God I was a doctor before. More than doctor's work, if you know the work. More than soldier work. There are soldiers here. More than doctor or more than, if you really have to do it well. There are days you sit up in the morning from night and you sleep by 6 a.m. That is, you are doing the real work. Many people don't do anything because they don't know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, you can't live where you are. You live where you are because you know what to do. Listen to this. Vision imparts onto people the sense of urgency. You live as if you are in a hurry. When there is vision, you are running. The sense of urgency. Vision makes people to be impatient where there is no desired outcome. You are impatient. It is a positive impatience. Vision makes you impatient with low outcome. Don't forget that. With low outcome. Especially when the vision is time sensitive. Something like, by the end of January, I trust God to see this level of result in this area. By the end of March, I am expecting this. And by the end of the first quarter, I am expecting this. And now the first quarter is approaching. And what you are expecting by vision is not yet happening. It puts you under pressure. It just, when the vision is open-ended, it doesn't achieve anything much. That is, what is your vision? I want to be spiritual. It doesn't achieve so much. But every day I must pray for so and so number of hours. I must win so and so number of souls a week. I must trust God to conquer so and so amount of resources, make so and so amount of sales. and it is time sensitive, and it is scheduled. At this time, I expect this to happen. At that time, I expect that to happen. Then you are a runner. You are a runner. It's impossible to walk. That is the mystery behind some of us, the race some of us run in life. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Vision. Real vision. Listen to this now. Will destroy four things in your life. One, delay. Two, indecision. Three, procrastination. Four, stagnation. One, delay. Two, indecision. Three, procrastination. Four, stagnation. Real vision will destroy them. It will destroy the spell of delay. Delay to move, delay to act. It will destroy indecision. It will destroy procrastination. And it will destroy stagnation. Indecision means, I'm not sure. Procrastination means, I am sure, but let me wait a bit. It destroys stagnation. Real vision will destroy those four things in your life. Somebody say aloud, amen. Say in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be the victim of delay. I refuse to be the victim of indecision. I refuse to be the victim of stagnation. I refuse to be the victim of procrastination. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say aloud, amen. Listen to this as I round off on this point. Time without meaning or value is the outcome of life without vision. Time without meaning or value is the outcome of life without vision. When a man, a woman has life without vision, lives life without vision, it is time without meaning, time without value. Time is just going. No meaning to time and no value. That will never be your portion. In Jesus' name. Finally tonight, vision brings transformation. Vision brings transformation in two directions. Vision brings transformation to character and transformation of capacity. Character, capacity. Vision changes something inside the visioner. Now I'll just give you very, very practical example. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 37, Jacob made the animals of Laban to look at something. And as they looked at what Jacob painted on the wall, a change begins to happen in their genetic system. As they looked at it, the poplar. And they began to give birth contrary to their physical appearance. You see, black and white cow giving birth to brownish and something, something. Just whatever they saw, for as long as they saw that, something on their inside is changed to produce what they saw. Am I communicating? Let me give you an example. A 17-year-old boy suddenly develops the vision of being a generational leader. 17-year-old boy. A generational leader. The vision of becoming a person of influence. Either a professor, a vice chancellor, the head of a financial institution, the head of a state or of a nation. And he began to think about that at the age of 17. suddenly, you see this young boy dressing as if he is a president. At that 17 years of age, he is with his suit and with his tie. And his shoes shine. And he's just moving with the audacious, calculated steps of an accomplished person. And he's beginning to deal with people above his age. He sits among elders. He asks questions. Because a vision is driving him. When you look at him, he speaks above his age. He reasons above his age. He talks above his age. A vision is changing his character and capacity. Now, at the same time, his 17-year-old age mates that have no such vision are wearing funny hairstyle. Center is green. Side is blue. Twisted like a madman. He has earrings in his ears as a man. And he has his trousers that are sagging. And he's just moving up and down. You see the two guys. And you look at this one. And he tells this one, I am your age mate, but I don't belong to your age. I don't belong to your age. I belong to an age above you. Even though we have the same date of birth, we are not functioning in the same level. I was like that as a 17-year-old boy. I was like that as an 18-year-old boy. I was like that as a 19-year-old boy. Smart tie. Smart shoes. I counseled married people. I wasn't married yet. I told them how to live. By God's mercy, when I spoke among elders, as if I was their age mate. By his message, I gave proverbs that they needed to unravel. Most of the proverbs I gave here, it didn't come from anywhere. It is created. It's natural. It's original. Not heard from anybody. Am I communicating? That is how vision changes your capacity. You see, and by this illustration, I have just spoken to somebody. You can be 17 years old without belonging to that age. And you can be 55 years old like a 15-year-old child. There are men who are 18 and there are boys who are 81. Are you following what I'm saying here? I've seen boys. I spoke with a man on the phone. The man was almost 70 years old. And this man was talking like a baby. Now, that's someone I'll say, yes, sir. Good morning, sir. He was talking like a baby. So I said, I'm so sorry, sir. I thought you are a man. I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know you are a baby. If you heard him, you will also confirm it, a baby. In case you say I was disrespectful, I said sir first. And true to type, that man kept on making disastrous moves. Babyhood moves. Babyhood steps. Please grow up. Grow up. Grow up. David did not behave like a 17-year-old boy. He behaved like the leader of a nation at age 17. Young lady, don't behave like a street girl. Behave like a royal queen of England. Behave in that class. There is a way those people don't look. There is a way they can't afford to appear. They are too royal to appear common. Hallelujah.
Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say louder amen. How you behave affects what you can become. It's a prophecy of where you are going. You are just prophesying your future. For as much as you will never see the president of a country with his trousers hanging down, and you will never see the head of a big corporation with his body exposed unnecessarily, for as long as you will never see such, when you behave like that, hanging trousers and all manner, you have said to yourself, I belong to the street level. I don't belong there, and I accept to remain here. Don't ever behave for where you are. Behave for where you are going. Behave for what you want to become. Behave for where you want to reach. That's where to behave. That's how to behave. Somebody say amen.
My wife says to me, every time I got a sharp shoe, sharp suit, sharp everything, I almost wear it almost the same day. I say, I don't have Christmas dress. And I stand out, and I just try to look as best as possible. And she said to me one day, earlier on, she said, why do you do like that? I said, I don't know who I will meet. Maybe I will meet the president of somewhere. And I don't want to regret that if I had known, I would have dressed better. She's nodding her head, confirming what I'm saying. I think one day we went out like that, and she just, she just went casually, and then I just went as usual, diplomatic with my sharpness. And I think we met some people or something. I don't know what happened. She said, okay, I have learned. If I knew, I would have behaved the way you behave. I don't know who I will meet. I want to be ready for every urgency. I want to be ready for any. I want to step on any stage. If they say carry the microphone, I wouldn't wish I dressed well. I want to be ready for any urgency. I want to. Smith Wigglesworth said, don't get ready, live ready. Apply what I'm saying to every area of your life. When David appeared on that battlefield, he didn't get ready. He appeared ready. What can be done for the man that taketh down this man? I am ready for him. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. My wife steps into my study room and then sees the whole place filled with the fragrance of aromatic fragrance. Say, where are you going tonight that you still spray? He said, where are you going tonight? I can perceive the fragrance of perfume everywhere. Are you going out somewhere? I said, oh, this is for normal sitting. You have seen very interesting things. So. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It affects character. It affects capacity. If you are not thinking that you are all I'm trusting God for is to have a car, have a house, and have travel visa. Right? If that is what you are thinking about, then there is a way your mind works. But if you are thinking like the head of a multinational that budgets in billions of dollars or naira, there is a way your mind begins to get upgraded. There is a way you begin to work and research. There is a way you begin to enlarge capacity. And something inside you begin to enlarge to be able such that when you see $1 million, you don't run mad. You are equal to the task because you are developed to that level. Pastor of church, there is a way in which your spiritual capacity begins to enlarge when you begin to think in terms of pastoring your generation, not just pastoring a few members of a congregation. Am I communicating? There is a capacity enlargement. There is something it does to you because capacity determines possibility. If you give a man 1 billion naira who only has the capacity of managing 1 million naira, that man will spend that 1 billion until it will remain 1 million in his hands. He won't know what to do with it. If he's in the village, he will begin to marry more wives. But if you give a man 1 million naira, who has the capacity, he has an enlarged vision, an enlarged capacity to manage 1 billion, that 1 million will grow until it becomes 1 billion in his hand because his capacity is enlarged by his vision. You give a pastor who has the capacity to pastor 500 people, 10,000 members. He will scatter the people with his preaching, with his life, with his everything, until people drop from 10,000 to 500 to meet him at his level. Because that is the level he can handle. Meanwhile, you give 500 members to somebody whose capacity is 10,000. He will grow that capacity until he reaches the 10,000 because his capacity has been enlarged to accommodate. Hear me. When we are in area one and the sanctuary was just filled, and I began to think of overflow, many things began to come to my mind on the spot. We are going to have a lot of crowd. All right. So if they are going to come, where is the road for them to come? All right. So if they are going to come, are there enough toilet facilities? All right. What about children facility? Because they will come with their children. Everything begins to just explode on the spot. The thought of this and that and that and that. If I'm going to reach there, if I'm going to accommodate so and so people, it begins to explode on the spot. If your thought was small, those things wouldn't come up. Stand up on your feet. That's the essence of vision. All of a sudden, your character is adjusting to match with the vision. Your capacity is enlarging. Your thought pattern is enlarging. Your mentality is enlarging. Everything is enlarging to ensure that you are able to accommodate that vision when it arrives. And you are not taken by surprise. And your life does not collapse because you got a vision. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say amen at the top of your voice. Did you receive anything here tonight? You must ensure that your vision brings you out of darkness, turns your life into an illumination, and causes you to have optimism, enthusiasm, positivism. That vision will bring speed to your life. No more delay. No more indecision. No more procrastination. And no more stagnation. And then your character and your capacity begins to change. So this is how to behave. What do I want to become? Behave accordingly. Don't wait until you become it. Behave it now. To become it, you must behave it. Am I communicating? And then your capacity begins to enlarge. If I am looking forward to having employees, 500 employees, 1,000, how do I prepare for it? How am I qualified for it? It might make you to take some courses, do some trainings that prepares you for what you are expecting. That is what vision does to you. Because you don't service a car
that is not functional, that is just down there. Vision services your character, services your capacity to become what God wants you to become and to become what you are expecting to become. Lift up your hands and lift your voices and appreciate God for what you have received tonight. Appreciate Him, honor Him, adore Him, worship Him, glorify Him. Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you. Elyon, Adonai, Rofeka, we praise you. We worship you. We magnify you. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and your voice and say after me, say, Father, I come before you today.
I come before you today.
I ask, Lord, that you help me to walk in the realm of vision.
Vision
that will bring me
out of darkness,
that will make my life
an illumination
to my generation.
Vision
that will give me
optimism,
enthusiasm,
and destroy
every trace of depression
and pessimism
out of my life.
Vision
that will give speed
to my life
and destroy
the spell of delay,
the spell of indecision,
the spell of stagnation,
the spell of procrastination.
Vision
that will cause a change
in character,
a change
in capacity
in my life.
I receive
the grace
to walk,
to run
in the realm
of that vision
now
in the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and pray.
The Lord has answered us in Jesus' name. It's a new day for us. Isaiah chapter 60 and in verse 3. He said, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. God is bringing us to a point where kings will submit and surrender to the God they see in us, the God they see in the church, and even the God they see in our nation in a short time to come. I'd like you to pray with passion tonight. That's the line of prayer we are doing tonight. The submission of royalties. And God turning us into evidences in our generation. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice. First and foremost, as we begin with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, appreciation for what God has done. Lift your voice and say, Father, thank you
for
your goodness and your mercies. Be glorified. Open your mouth and speak to God.
Thanks. We shall be appreciating God for this 10th day of the fast, His grace, strength, and help. Speaking in Psalm 84 and in verse 7. that go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeared before God. Lift up your voice and pray with me. Say, Father, thank you for these 10 days of the fast. Thank you, Lord, for your help, strength, and grace so far. Thank you, Lord, because there shall be an increase in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, thank you for these 10 days of the fast. Thank you, Lord,
for
your help, strength, and grace so far. Thank you, Lord, because there shall be on the increase in the name of Jesus. Stop your voice.
Thank you. Of Jesus we pray. Amen. The Lord is answering our prayer. Shout a very big amen. We shall be asking for the visibility of God's blessings upon our lives. Speaking in Isaiah 61 verse number 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Say with me, Father, I ask that your blessing be so visible on my life, my family, your church, dynamics, and our nation, Nigeria, that all we acknowledge the reality of your blessing on our lives and land in 2023. In the name of Jesus, they can say, Father, I ask that your blessing be so visible on my life, my family, your church, dynamics, and our nation, Nigeria, that all we acknowledge the reality of your blessing on our lives and land in 2023. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and make the prayer. Ring the bell, let me cast my arm. And shout the barrels of Tobia.
Chapter 62-3. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up your voice and say, Father,
I ask
that your glory,
that
is risen
upon my life,
upon my family,
upon the church,
dunamis,
and our nation,
Nigeria,
in this season,
will compel
the attention
and submission
of the Gentiles
and kings
to your almightiness
among us.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
again, Father,
I ask
that
your glory,
that is risen
upon my life,
my family,
your church,
dunamis,
and our nation,
Nigeria,
in this season,
will compel
the attention
and submission
of the Gentiles
and kings
to your mightiness
among us.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
lift up your voices,
make that a prayer.
Nigeria,
let him compel
the attention
Of Jesus Christ. Let's read Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23 together. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with thee. Amen. Say, Father, I ask that your goodness on my life, on my family, on the church, on Dunamis, and on our nation, Nigeria, in this season, will turn us into a magnet of souls for the nations of the earth to salvation, for salvation and discipleship in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that your goodness on my life and family and church, Dunamis and nation, Nigeria, in this season will turn us into a magnet of souls for the nations of the earth for salvation and discipleship. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray.
The Lord has answered. You believe he has heard us, and you believe he has answered. Shout the Lord and say amen. Amen. You believe he has heard and answered us, give him the shout of praise. And now we shall take the next 7 minutes of personal supplication. You can bring out your expectation forms and just begin to speak to God tonight. Father, on this 10th day of the fast, I thank you for what you have done in my life so far, and I'm trusting you for this or for that. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus. The Lord has answered us in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Just worship Him. Lord, we wait on You. Raise your hands and give Him the praise. We wait on You. Up your two hands everywhere you are. Just receive the touch of His presence tonight. Thank you. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for removing that yoke. Of limitation. There is a crown of shame that the Lord is setting on fire right now. There is an altar that is under judgment right now. The Lord is judging an ancestral altar, altar of premature death. Mahashagoya, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, 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 yes. Command that altar judged right now. Judged right now. Judged right now. Command that altar to catch fire right now. In the name of Jesus. The one with the authority to open doors that no man can shut. And shut doors that no man can open. Is opening some doors right now. Thank you, Father. For hearing and answering. In Jesus' precious name. Get set for it. That's right. Lift your hand. Something is happening. I see a change of cloth. A change of garment. A change of raiment. Esther. The name of that sister right now. Whose garment God is changing. You are not a victim of shame. You are a candidate of favor. That shame organized for you is returned back to hell. That let your hands high. Father, wherever that Esther is, whether it's here or anywhere they are watching, receive your change of garment, power of the Holy Ghost. The enemy had planned shame for you. Plan reproach, disgrace, it will not happen. Fire! Jesus, a man whose name starts with an A, having pile, God is setting you free. Like a bell, a like, or a R, whatever. Just starts with an A, wherever you are. Step forward here with that difficulty. It's tooling with that pile, and the Lord is healing you right now. Father, let tonight be the final moment. And if you are watching online or watching one of the locations, thank you, Master. You have pile for how long? And your name is?
My name is Ayodeji.
Lift your hands. In the name of Jesus, power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, the embargo is lifted. It's your hands. It's over. All of you have power. Now I take authority over also the chest affliction. There is someone among you with a chest in addition to the pile. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands. Upon Mount Zion, there is deliverance and there is holiness. The sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. I declare your deliverance tonight. I declare your liberty tonight. In the name of Jesus. 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 There is a witchcraft coven that is catching fire right now. Because of you, there is an altar of darkness that is catching fire. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. On Sunday, there is going to be very, very drastic manifestation of the power of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God that is going to change. Oh, Mahashata Kalita Rota Sataka. Mashta Kokola Yada Shakokola Bayada. You have the pile. Right. That's Abel. That's the Abel. Lift up your hands. Anywhere they have taken your picture to, and whatever the enemy has used your picture to do, I declare it is reversed. In the name of Jesus. Power of the Holy Ghost. Anywhere they have taken that man's picture to, for witchcraft. And everyone here today, anywhere they have taken your picture to. That's right. Every demon, every monitoring spirit. You are conscious of the fact that your life is being monitored. Because every time a good thing is about to happen, all of a sudden it disappears. You want to share a testimony. All of a sudden the testimony disappears. You are conscious of the fact that your life is being monitored. Today I declare that monitoring spirit is set on fire. That monitoring devil is set on fire. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the blessing of the communion tonight. We declare that as we take this communion tonight, all that see us will acknowledge us. That we are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Isaiah 61 verse 9. Because we take the cup of the blessing. 1 Corinthians 10:16. And the cup of the blessing establishes the blessing of God upon our lives and destroys every curse. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord and let the communion begin to move. And while that is happening, anywhere you are tonight, in need of surrender to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven, you want today to mark a new day in your life, you are saying, Pastor, I want my sins forgiven, I want to be born again, I want to be saved, I want to hand over my life to Jesus. Anywhere you are, pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and quickly rush to the front. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, quickly rush to the front. You want an addiction broken, you want a negative lifestyle dissolved, also come forward here. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and rush to the front quickly. I'll give you the count of 10 as you come. 1.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give.
2.
To withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender.
3. Your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of sin broken of your life. Grace to live for God is released upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.